Blog Talk
Hello,
Radio.
Everybody. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons. My name is Sherry Pang, and I'm missing my co-host again this evening. He's having some technical difficulties. He's having a problem trying to log in, and so we don't know what the problem is, but I hope he'll figure that out really soon because I sure miss him being on air with me. And I hope this resolves rather quickly. It's just not the same without Jason on air. So I wanted to go and thank everybody for not only listening but your continued support over the years. It's been wonderful. And like I said earlier in previous episodes, that the things that we post, Jason and I, we post on our Facebook page, it's not necessarily our opinions or our thoughts. It's just, you know, different things that our audience or listeners may be interested to check out and maybe learn something. So I wanted to say, number one, I think tonight I have a little bit of bragging rights. I want to go and introduce a paranormal team that I just joined. It's called Paranormal Research Investigator of St. Michael. So it's PRISMS for short. And it's led by Archbishop James Cloud. He's also an exorcist. So I'm very, very blessed and very pleased to join their team. Outstanding. They've been on Ghost Adventures with Zach Bacon, I believe it's twice now. And I'm really very pleased and look forward to joining forces and helping not only, number one, to serve God, but number two is to serve our clients and help bring some closure and healing to each person that we affect. Anyway, tonight is going to be it seems like it's a new subject anytime we have Karen, but Karen Anderson is going to be our returning guest, and she has written some books called, number one, Hear All Creatures, and number two, The Secret Inner Life of Pets, as she co-authored with a PhD. I forgot her name right offhand, but maybe Karen can correct me on that. And her latest book is called The Amazing Afterlife, The Amazing Afterlife of Animals. And congratulations to Karen. It's hit number one on the bestsellers on Amazon. So I'm really proud of her, and we're going to put her on the show. So we're going to talk about anything from animals to whatever. We're just going to go on the cuff. So we're going to bring her on. Hello, Karen.
Hey, Sherry. How's it going?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Awesome. Thanks for having me on. You know, I love coming on the show, and I think we'll make it through tonight, but it won't be the same without your co-host joining us.
I know. It's never the same without Jason, and I know he's so disappointed. And I want to, you know, I know that we have a lot of people listening, but I want to publicly thank you for acknowledging me with my skills or talents or whatever as listed as one of your top psychic mediums. So I just want to publicly thank you for acknowledging me. I'm very humbled and very surprised.
Well, you know what, Sherry, you deserve it. And just for the listeners, in the back of the book, I provided my personal psychic directory. These are my go-to people that over the last 20 years that I have developed a rapport with, and there's a handful that I would recommend to others. And these are outstanding people who have earned their place in my life because I've either worked with them personally and I can attest to their abilities. And these are my go-to people. So I wanted to share that with my readers. And, you know, the more that we support each other as fellow psychics and mediums, I think the better. And I want to always promote the talents of my psychic friends, and certainly you're one of them, and you deserve it. You're an amazing psychic and medium, and I love telling my clients and all my readers now that are have purchased the book and those that are listening too, just how great you are. You certainly have earned that. And I've kind of been there with you along the way, and we met so many years ago. Oh my gosh, don't tell anybody how long how long ago it was, but I feel like we've kind of grown together into this psychic realm, and I'm honored to have you as a friend, and I'm honored to have you in the psychic directory.
Well, thank you, and I feel you are, you know, I've known you for so long. I mean, at least 15 years personally. We've gone our ups and downs in our life, and forward and backwards, and everything else. And you know, I'm just so proud of you. Seriously, you just, from the time I met you, you've come a long ways, and that's really from my heart. It's good to see your friends grow. It really is.
It is, and you know, it's a journey, and we're all students, and I'm a student. I learn something new every time I have a session and work with a client. So, you know, we're all just students learning and sharing our gifts and our abilities and helping people, and in my case, helping people and animals. And, you know, that's what we do. It's our chosen path, and it's our passion. And, you know, I am all for helping others in this industry and sharing their gifts. I think it's fantastic how each of us have unique talents and a different approach or different abilities. I love that. I love the uniqueness of each of us.
That's great. Well, we want to talk about what is the your newest book, The Amazing Afterlife of Animals. Can you just briefly talk about that, or maybe share a story or two that may stick out of your mind?
Absolutely. I came about writing this book. My first book, Hear All Creatures, has been out for like 10 years now, and it was really my documentation of how I learned how to understand the messages from the animals. So I documented my journey in Hear All Creatures, and it was pretty much right from the beginning how I was able to understand their messages, and I share some of my successes and failures along the way. And the way that I came about writing The Amazing Afterlife of Animals is that over the last 10 years since I wrote Hear All Creatures, I have found that when I have a session with a client whose animal has passed over or is going to pass over and cross over to the other side, that there have been some amazing and profound messages that have come through that have allowed that person to move through their grief and into a place of healing. Now, everybody heals at a different pace, and it takes time. And what really got my attention was how one little message, Sherry, one little thing that the animals would share would turn everything around for their person. And it could be something really insignificant. And I'll give you one of my favorite stories in the book. Is the very first story is about a deceased cat named Bree. And I was checking in with her. She had recently crossed over. And I was waiting for her mom, Rachel, to call in. And as I was sitting there chatting with Bree the cat, she flashed the image of a measuring tape at me. Now, I've seen a lot of things over the years, and animals send me some crazy messages, but this was really bizarre. And I thought, what in the world is this cat showing me a measuring tape for? And I asked her, but she didn't tell me. And that can happen. That's common. Sometimes, if an animal doesn't know what something is, they have to just show it to me. And they won't understand the bigger picture of what it is, but it has some significance. So I made a note of this tape measure as I was waiting for Rachel to call in. And the whole time I'm kind of scratching my head like, what in the world is this? So Rachel calls in, and we start the session, and I connect with Bree again. And I said to Rachel, is there any reason why Bree would show me a tape measure before the call came in? And there was this total silence on the other end of the phone, and she says, oh my gosh, Karen, I cannot believe you're saying that. I said, well, please tell me, because I don't know why she would show me this. She said that right before the call, like minutes before the call, she was in her bedroom measuring her mattress to make sure that she ordered the right size sheets, because I don't know about you guys, but I get really frustrated when they pull up on the corners, you know, when they don't stay, when the fitted sheet doesn't stay on the mattress. And that's what Rachel was doing. She was measuring the mattress to make sure that she could order the right size sheets. Well, as she was doing that, she glanced over and saw Bree's little kitty bed on the side of the room. And she thought to herself, "Oh, Bree, I miss you so much. I just wish you were here, and I just wish that I knew that you were around me." And then she didn't think anything else of it, and she finished measuring her sheets, and then she called in for the session. So that one little message about a tape measure helped Rachel not only realize that Bree was right there with her the whole time, it helped her really realize that they're just a thought away. They're not in some faraway place. They're not up in the heavens, up in the clouds. They're right here with us and around us. And she was able to move through her grief and into a place of healing. And I love that because Bree didn't really know what the tape measure was all about. She just showed it to me because she just saw her mom using it.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. It's really amazing because people, you know, you think, okay, what's my animal going to talk about? You never know what they're going to show me. You never know what they're going to bring up. And that's what I love about it because I didn't even know the significance of that. But Rachel knew, and to Rachel it meant the world to her. So that's what I love about it is that I can bring forward a message, one tiny little seemingly obscure message, but that can mean everything in the world to that person.
That's crazy. Wow. Well, it's been so close, Karen. I want to say and share this with you, and I know, remember years ago when I first adopted an orphan cat, and you were already in the scene. You know, you were taking, I think you were taking a break. I don't think you were, you know, real active, but I remember talking to you about Meow Meow. And he was, we call that a blue Himalayan, plus he had a little bit of calico because his tail had, you know, a little bit of colors in it. But when he crossed over, he actually, it would be his fifth birthday, January 1st. And so,
oh, wow.
You know, knowing that my cat is around, and I have learned through doing this kind of work, you know how to imitate animals or people. I don't know about
right.
you, but.
Right.
Or see, you'll learn to do that, and I can learn to, I have been able to call for Meow Meow. When Meow Meow was alive, he would do this thing. He said, "Meow, meow," like that, exactly. And that's exactly how Meow Meow would call me.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that was pretty good. That sounded very authentic, I got to tell you.
That's how my cat used to call me.
That's
so
awesome.
He just celebrated his fifth year in heaven, January 1st.
Well, I know so many people have lost a beloved pet, and, you know, it's the hardest thing in the world, I think. We are so close to our pets. I mean, they're with us almost all the time. They're there for us in good times and bad. And that's really the motivation for me to write this book, is to help people understand that when they cross over, they're not gone. They're still with you. They're still around you. They see what you're doing, even when you're doing something insignificant, like measuring your mattress to get the right sheets. They're still connected to you. They're still a part of your life. You are the most important person in the world to your pet, even after they cross over. That will never, ever change.
Do animals, have you noticed if animals care whether they're cremated or you bury them in the ground or, you know, do they have a say-so? Have they conveyed to you how they feel about whether, how their body is disposed, Karen?
Yeah, actually, and that's something else that I write about in the book because I've heard just about everything from, you know, the normal burials in the backyard or on somebody's property or something like that, and then cremation is also very popular. But I've heard some other very interesting things that people do with their pets' remains, and one of them that just stands out to me, and then I'll share a couple of stories with you here, but one of them stands out to me is I had one client that had her pet. It was kind of like a, it looks like taxidermy, but it's some kind of cryopreservation.
Okay.
So the dog looked exactly, the dog's name is Truffles, and there's a picture of Truffles in my book, The Amazing Afterlife of Animals. And that's a picture of her after she's been preserved. And she looks exactly like she did in real life. I mean, it's amazing. I couldn't believe it. In fact, when the client sent me the picture after she had her preserved, I was shocked at how lifelike she looked. So I've heard all kinds of different things that people do with their pets. And the one thing that is a common denominator is that it doesn't seem to matter to the animals. They aren't attached to their body or to their remains. And it doesn't seem to matter to them nearly as much as it does to the human. They really let go of that body when they're done, and they're anxious to move into their new journey in the afterlife. And the one thing that they tell me is whether it's a cremation or a burial or even this cryopreservation thing is when it makes you happy, it makes them happy. So the underlying note here is do what feels right in your heart and do what makes you feel good, because the animals are pretty much okay with whatever we decide. And this is particularly important for, I had, and this is another story from the book, but I had a client that she was, had lost her dog. He passed away after many, many years. I think he was about 15 or 16. And they buried him in the backyard. And then shortly after they buried him, her husband got transferred across several states. And so, of course, they had to leave him behind. Well, once she got to the new house, she felt like she had abandoned him because they didn't take him with. They left him there, of course. And she couldn't move past that. It was almost so overwhelming. She felt like a horrible mom, and how could I do this? How could I leave my pet behind? But you can't go digging up your pet, right? So we connected with her dog, and he said, first of all, he said, tell her I'm not there. Tell her I'm right here. And he showed me that he was floating on like a floaty tube, a rafty floaty tube thing in a pool. I mean, what a great place to be, right? So she shared with me that they had a pool at their new house. So he was already there at the new house. So she was, of course, elated and overjoyed that he wasn't lost. She thought maybe that he would be lost because they didn't live there anymore. And lost in on the other side. And no, you are connected energetically to your animal. So no matter where you go, you can move across halfway across the world, and your deceased pets will be able to pick up on your energetic vibration. Your energetic vibration is just like a fingerprint. It's unique to you. So no matter where you are, your deceased pets will always be able to stay in contact with you.
That's amazing, and I can share this with you. I don't know if I've ever sent you any photos, but ever since Meow Meow has gone, he has showed up in a couple of my photos, and it's more like a full apparition phantom kitty. Have you
that
had
is so cool. That is so cool. You know, and I love that. I'm getting chills right now, and I love when that happens, and Sherry, thanks for bringing that up, because what I want to also share with your listeners is that when your departed pets send you a sign from the afterlife, when they show up in your pictures, when you feel them or sense them around you, when you think they jump on the bed or you think they knock something over, tell them, oh, my gosh, thank you, do it again. Was that you? I think that was you. You know, say their name, invite them, encourage them, let them know you heard them. Try not to discount that. The animals tell me that they get frustrated with us because they'll try and try and try and try and try, come to us in our dreams, they'll knock things over, they'll do all these things, and then their human is in their mind, they think, oh, no, I must be crazy. That couldn't be my cat or my dog or whoever. And so they disregard it. They disregard the signs. So can you imagine how much energy an animal would have to muster up to be able to knock something over or to be able to let you feel their presence. It takes a lot of energy for them to save up to be able to send you that message. And then think about how disappointing that is when the human you love with all your heart disregards it or says, oh, that's just my imagination, that's not really them. So be sure, and if you're not sure who it is, just put that out there too. Go, I don't know who that was, but whoever it was, thank you for doing that, and please do it again. Or if it's my cat or my dog, you know, please keep sending messages. Or if it's a human loved one, you know, thank you, you know, send me more messages. Let them know you got the message or you felt them, heard them, sensed them, or dreamed about them, and thank them and keep encouraging them to do it. And if the more you ask for it, the more they'll send you, unless you don't want them to, but I can't imagine anybody not wanting to hear from their departed loved ones. I know I want to hear from mine.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yes. That's the next question for our listeners. What do they do on the other side, Karen? What have they conveyed to you?
You know, they're very content, like most of the time when I connect with them. And when I say that they're content, I mean, the English language won't do justice to how well they're doing on the other side. There's just, it's like being surrounded in joy and love all the time. And it's like a so comfortable. It's so comforting when they come through. They're usually hanging out with your other loved ones, your human and animal loved ones. Not all of them, but most of the time when I connect with a departed pet, they will come through with somebody's soul group, their family soul group. And family doesn't have to be a blood relative. Family can be a good friend or a coworker or a next door neighbor. It's the people who are connected to the human. And they'll usually come through together all in one big group. So when an animal, a deceased animal's energy comes through, they can bring all kinds of interesting characters with them. So we never know who's going to show up for a session. But generally, that's who they're with, and that's what they're doing. The other thing that they're doing is usually the thing they love to do most when they were here in physical. So if their favorite thing was, like, for example, playing with the tennis ball, then that's probably what they're doing on the other side. Or if they're a cat and their favorite thing was to be, you know, outside looking at, hunting around and scoping out the yard and stuff, that's what they're doing. So it's almost like duplicating what they love to do here. That's what they're doing over on the other side.
Cool. Wow. So Meow Meow must be just content playing when he wants or going outside or whatever he was in this life. That makes sense.
Exactly. And most of the time they tell me that they are in their favorite places. Let's say that in your house, if Meow Meow had a favorite place, favorite chair, favorite place on the bed or wherever he used to hang out, that's generally where they are. And if you move, don't worry. They'll come with you. And if you sell that house and move to another one, don't worry. They'll come with you. They never get left behind. They're never lost. They're never worried. They are always connected to you. They're always, always looked after and loved and cared for by either your soul group, your family group. And if it's, let's say, an animal that doesn't have a family, like a shelter animal or, you know, a stray or something like that, there's always a wonderful being of light there to take care of them, whether it be an angelic being or a spirit guide or another animal. Sometimes other animals will go over to greet those who cross over that don't have a family. Everybody always has somebody there for them to greet them and to take care of them and to welcome them into their little group.
Have they ever, Karen, have they ever talked about, Oh, I know that they have a new dog, and that dog sees me. Do they ever talk to you like that? Oh, I know that they have a new pet or a new family member.
Yes.
And they,
yes.
They, how they feel about that family, new family dog or family cat or anything like that?
Absolutely. And I know that this has happened to me, so I'm sure some of your listeners will be able to relate to this. But after one of our pets pass away, we are sometimes reluctant to bring a new one in because we don't want them to feel like we've replaced them. And certainly that's never our intention. But I know for me, the way that I heal, it's easier for me to heal when I can lavish love and affection and attention on another animal. That just is how I get through my grief. And I have many, many clients that contact me that want to make sure that their deceased pet isn't going to be mad at them or jealous or upset that they want to welcome a new animal into their home. And I'm going to speak in general terms tonight because this is most of the time, there's always going to be an exception to the rule, but most of the time the animals are thrilled that we're bringing somebody new in. And I'll tell you why. They don't worry about being replaced. That doesn't seem to be a concern to them. But here's why they love it. When we express the feeling of love, they get the benefit of that love, whether we're expressing it to another human, whether we're showing love to another animal, whether we're just being a loving person in general. Our departed pets benefit from that feeling. So when we bring a new pet into the house and we love on it and spoil it and take care of it, and our deceased pets get the benefit of all of that love that we're giving to this new pet. And likewise, the same is true when we are grieving. When we're grieving, when we're upset, when we're sad, when we're anxious, when we're stressed, our departed pets can feel all of those emotions from us too. And this brings a very important part up that I can't stress this enough. But your grief, no matter how deep, no matter how severe, no matter how overwhelming, will not stop your pet from continuing on their journey. So don't let yourself feel like, oh my gosh, I can't be sad, or I can't, I have to ignore my feelings of grief because I don't want to upset my deceased pet. No, you need to go through your emotions and feel each one of them. That's part of the process. That's how you move into healing. And your pet will, of course, be able to feel all of those too, and they want you to heal as quickly as you can, but your grief will not stop them on their journey. They're going to be just fine, and so will you. So just be sure that you honor all of your feelings of grief, no matter how deep.
Well, that's
deep
great to
and,
hear that, because sometimes,
yep.
You know, I've heard people, and just a generality, but they say, oh, no, you shouldn't keep the ashes because it doesn't prevent that person or animal to move forward on the other side, or getting a pet right away, you know, after having, you know, Meow Meow. I went to the shelter and got my Shih Tzu at the shelter, at a kill shelter at the time. It's no longer a kill shelter, but I got a pet about 2.5 weeks after Meow Meow passed away. So it's good to hear that, you know, they do move on. You're not going. It's not a hiccup in their progression or them moving forward on the other side.
Not at all. And I think it really, I know for me anyway, before I knew that, before I was even an animal communicator, I carried around a lot of grief from pets that, you know, when their end came and it didn't end the way that I wanted it to, or it ended tragically, you know, I carried that grief around me for a long time and blamed myself. And you know, I realize now that, you know, that animal doesn't hold me any more responsible for what happened to the end of their life than they would hold me responsible for bringing them into this world. I mean, we are not responsible unless we purposely set out to harm them or do them harm. The animals just don't see it that way. And so that was really a huge concept for me to wrap my head around when I realized that we're spiritual beings having a physical experience here on Earth, you and I, and so are the animals. And we need to experience everything that we can while we're here, and grief is part of it. Those deep, painful feelings, that is part of our journey, and that's part of why our animals are with us. They're here to teach us about our feelings and what we're capable of, and the deep love that we're capable of creating and the bonds we're capable of creating with them. That's part of why they're here with us. So it's supposed to hurt when we lose them. That's part of our process and part of our journey. So I try to just honor those feelings, as difficult as it is, as painful as it is, honor it. If you're sad, be sad. If you're depressed, get help, seek help. There's so much help out there now. Grief recovery and counseling, support groups, there's, you know, social media. There's so many different places that you can go to now to get support. It's out there. Just all you have to do is look around and ask. But I really recommend that everybody feels those feelings and acknowledges them and honors those feelings. That's how you work your way into healing. If you suppress them, if you push them down, which I'm guilty, I've done this, what can happen is a thing called unresolved grief. And unresolved grief is kind of the cataclysmic worst thing that you ever want to have happen. And that's where you get to the point where you won't even allow yourself to have another animal because you're punishing yourself, thinking that you must be a bad parent, that you don't deserve one, because you feel so bad about your pet that just passed away. And so you punish yourself. And this is one example of unresolved grief. And it's cumulative. So if you think about how old we're getting these days, and if we don't work through our grief, it builds another layer. Each time we lose a pet, it builds and builds and builds, and this unresolved grief can really turn into a big emotional mess for us. So try to avoid that. Try to really just face the feelings of your grief and stand right in the middle of it, and, you know, be sad when it's time to be sad, but then be ready to shift into healing when that time comes too.
Do you believe that people may, depending on their progression of grieving, do they ever get over it, Karen, especially with their pets?
I don't think so. I don't think we ever get over a loss. I think we just get through it and we learn to live without them. I think they, our pets actually take a piece of our heart energetically with them when they leave. And that's okay. I think that's okay, because when they take that energetic piece of our heart with them, I think that leaves a spot available for us to welcome a new pet into our life and to love again. It's all about love, Sherry. It's all about love. And that's a powerful thing. And that's what our pets give us, that incredible love that nobody else can give us. And so I think that that is I know for me anyway, I can't live without animals in my life. I live on a farm. I live on 30 acres, and I have horses and cats and dogs and chickens, and I've even got a wild turkey that lives out in the yard, and she comes up every day and wants to say hi and hang out with us. I have to have animals in my life. They're what bring me joy and happiness, and they make me feel complete, and I think so many other people out there feel the same way too. And, you know, it hurts when we lose them. It hurts me, even though I can communicate with them. I still go through all of those same feelings of grief. I don't get to avoid that. I'm right there. I'm probably crying harder than the next person is crying when I lose mine. It's devastating, and it's hard.
They're like your baby. Like
they are.
Yes, they are. They're just like having a human, you know. They're just in an animal still form. They're like your babies, you know. That's how
they
I feel.
Are.
And I'm exactly at the same place as you, Karen. I've always had animals. And you know, it's interesting because we find joy to not only give to these animals, but it's a way to nurture ourselves, and it's a win-win situation. So
I think so.
I don't know what it would be like without having no animals. But I love animals. I really do, and I'm a big proponent, especially with shelter animals.
Me too. I've done a lot of rescue work over the years, and in fact, that was kind of what got me into all of this, was the rescue work and volunteering that I was doing. And it's just very satisfying to me to be able to help an animal. And And, you know, they are certainly the biggest part of my life, I would say. They continue to be the biggest part of my life, and they've helped me along the way. They've taught me so much. They're so forgiving and so understanding, and we have so much to learn from them. We really do. They don't typically, again, I'm going to speak in general terms, they don't hold grudges, they don't have agendas, they're not out to get you, you know, they don't stab you in the back, they don't talk about you behind your back, they don't cheat on you, they don't lie to you. You know, these are all things, these are all human traits that humans do to us, but our animals don't. You know, they just, they can't wait to see us, they long for our attention, they just want to be with us. You know what? It's awesome. I can't imagine my life
without them. Okay, so I have a question. You know Cesar Millan. What do you think of his philosophy with dogs, where he says number one is exercise, number two is discipline, and number three is love?
Yeah, I think Cesar's really, he's got a really good handle on it. And I've been a fan of his for a long time and used to watch all of his shows. And he was the first one that actually talked about the energy of the animal. And I love that about his work and his teaching. And it's very true. Many times clients will come to me if they have behavioral problems with their animals. And what I end up doing is helping the person understand how to take the control back in a situation, because oftentimes they leave it up to the animal to decide what the animal should or shouldn't do. So I have to remind them that they're the person in charge. They're in control. They shouldn't leave those decisions up to the pet, because if you leave a decision up to a pet, chances are you're not going to like the choice they make. So I help my clients resolve their behavioral problems by empowering them to see that they can take the control back and how to do that and the steps to do that to create a more balanced environment for everyone. And that's amazing to me how many people are ruled by their pets. The pets rule the household. It's amazing to me. And I think Cesar understands energy, and he's very good about being a pack leader and being the one in control, and that the dog should submit to the human and again, not make the decision. And that's basically what it is. It's like you take all the decision-making away from the pets, and they should be your follower. Of course, he works with dogs, so we're talking about dogs here. Cats are a whole different story. You know, cats are their own entirely unique and interesting creature out there, and there's nothing like them. And I think Cesar's really got it figured out with the dogs. I really do. I really like his work, and I like how he handles difficult situations, and I think we can all learn a lot from him.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think Cesar Millan is really on top of it, and he's dealt with dogs in so many different ways. And, you know, it's interesting how your dog is almost a byproduct of who you are, you know.
Oh, yes.
You know, very few dogs, like you said, are considered red zone dogs where they need to be put down and euthanized because you can't rehab them. They're just beyond that point. But a lot of times we are so busy into what we do, we don't look at as a dog has their own needs, and we have to put their needs first, whether, like he says, whether it's, you know, exercise or discipline or love or things like that. So, you know, that's the responsibility of having animals, period.
Well, it is, and I think that's one of the misconceptions. Every once in a while I'll get a new client that will contact me, and they'll say, well, I need you to communicate with my dog because they're getting into a fight with my other dog, and you need to tell them they can't do that. And it's like, well, okay, hang on a second. You know, dogs are going to do what they're instinctually driven to do and what their environment provides for them. So you're the human in this situation. You have to modify their environment and set them up for success so that this doesn't happen. But there are some people who think I can just talk to an animal and it's like I sprinkled fairy dust on them or something, that all their bad habits go away and everything's just fine and dandy and hunky-dory and everyone's happy. And yes, sometimes that happens. Yes, absolutely, sometimes that happens. But, you know, pet ownership, having pets is a responsibility, and you have to take that responsibility. And it's a combined effort. It's a group effort. I can help you see what you need to do in your scenario. I can explain things to your pet, tell them what's coming up, what's going to happen, or why this is happening. I can also find out why an animal is doing something or isn't doing something. But the human still has to take the responsibility, and the onus is on them to modify or change the environment. And it's not going to be just some magical thing that I say to the animal and all of a sudden they stop, you know, attacking the other dog. That just doesn't happen. That's just that's an unrealistic expectation. But it's
yeah, they want you to fix
their
problem that they probably create or continue to, you know, permit. Exactly.
Yes. Yep. And then, you know, it really kind of, I understand somebody who isn't familiar with it, that they don't understand how it works, but what I do is really just helping the humans and their animals understand each other better. I open up the lines of communication so that they can understand what's going on in each other's minds. Because, and this is an interesting thing, Sherry, and maybe you can relate to this too, but most of the time as human beings, we tend to think in terms of what we don't want. So let's say you're having a behavioral problem with two of your dogs, for instance. You'll be driving home from work and you'll think, oh gosh, I sure hope that they didn't, you know, get into a fight, or I sure hope that they didn't tear anything up, or whatever it is. If it's a potty training issue, I sure hope that they didn't go potty in the house. As we're driving home, we're putting all the thoughts out there and in our mind, we're running it over and over again of exactly what we don't want. And what I help my clients realize is that what comes from you energetically, your positive thoughts, and say out loud what you want. If you say it out loud, it can happen. But if you can't picture it, if you can't visualize it, it's never going to happen. So if all you do is think in your mind, well, I sure hope the dogs don't fight today, or I sure hope that they don't get into it, or I sure hope that so-and-so doesn't get hurt, that's all you're doing is fueling that scenario. So you have to think in terms of what you want. I want my dogs to be respectful of each other and to be on their best behavior, and then picture what that looks like in your mind. Or I want my cats to be on their best behavior and ignore each other. You know, I always ask cats, can you just ignore the other cat? Just ignore them. You don't have to be their friend. Just ignore the other cat. Just pretend there's a big bubble around them and you're just going to walk around the bubble and ignore them. And I picture it in my mind when I communicate with them. So if more people could picture in their mind what they want or say out loud what they want instead of always thinking in terms of what they don't want, you can get a lot farther with behavior problems than by always thinking the worst case scenario. If you think the worst case scenario, you're going to create that.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. What about euthanasia? I think we talked about it last time you were on our show. Do pets have neither choice one way or another, whether they like to be let go or have euthanasia?
You know, that is such a loaded question. And what I always tell my clients is there are some people who believe that we don't have a right to take a life, any life, especially when it comes to our pets, that we should allow them to pass on their own without interfering, without euthanizing and ending their life. And then there are some people who believe, you know, oh my gosh, we can't let them suffer any longer than necessary, and it's the only right thing to do. It's the humane thing to do. You've heard that a million times. It's the humane thing to do. And truly, I can see both sides of that. I do. I can see both sides of that story. Where I come up with my belief and how I feel about that topic in euthanasia is, first of all, it's horrible to have to make that. I call it the impossible decision because it really is. I mean, nobody wants to make that phone call. Nobody wants to set that appointment. Nobody wants to go through with it. Nobody. It's horrible. But it's part of our responsibility, and our pet has entrusted their life with us, and they want us to help manage them as they age and as they reach their senior years or whatever. If they pass way too young, they entrust us with their life. And so we have to handle that the best that we can and put their needs first over and above our own. And sometimes that's really hard to do. But as far as what the animals share, what they want, this is where I come up with my belief system. I've had more animals who have died on their own tell me that there was a significant amount of struggle and pain involved by passing on their own without any help from a human or a doctor or euthanasia. And like I said earlier, I'm speaking in generals because there's always exceptions. For instance, if an animal has a massive cardiac incident or a massive seizure and they die suddenly, there's not a whole lot of pain or struggle involved there. So there's always going to be an exception to that rule. I'm just speaking in general terms where the dog or cat is just aging naturally. They tell me that there's so much more pain and difficulties and struggle involved when they pass on their own and fear. And that's the part that got me, is that animals expressed that they were afraid. They didn't know what to do. They felt scared. Where when I connect with an animal who has been euthanized, there's far less struggle, there's far less pain. They usually don't talk about any kind of fear, and it's almost as if the incident itself, the euthanasia, isn't really a part of their memory. It's almost like they don't even bring it up, like it didn't even happen, it wasn't part of their experience. So because of that, Sherry, I side with and I support euthanizing with my animals. That's what I choose, simply because of what the animals have told me.
In the country, the old farmers, they just shoot their animals. I guess that's a form of euthanasia.
It is, and, like I said, there are different situations, there's different scenarios, and I understand all of those sides, but I'm to actually hear what the animals say who have experienced dying on their own, there's a lot of pain and a lot of struggle involved, and, I'm not for that. I don't want to put my animals through any more struggle than necessary, and I want to help them make their transition out of their body easily and peacefully and as gently and calmly as I can. That's my goal.
Karen, we have two callers, and it's up to you. We have less than 10 minutes to go. Would you just like to answer a question, or would you just like to skip that? It's up to you. I think we have two callers on hold right now.
I'd be happy to take questions about
So if we can move on through within the time frame, that would be great. Wish we had more time. But, yes, we can put one caller and just say your name and where you're calling from and have Karen answer the question. Hello? Hello? Hello, you're on Paranormal Horizons. Can we help you? I hope I'm not talking to myself. Hello.
They must have disappeared.
The other one. Let's put the other one through and see if they're still there. Hello, you're on Paranormal Horizons. Can we help you? Oh, I guess they must have hung up.
They got tired of waiting for us.
But I can understand. I wouldn't want my animal to suffer. It's like seeing your loved ones, your human loved ones. Would you like them to go through that? And, it's very difficult, but everybody is so different. And, I wouldn't want to. I agree with you. I wouldn't want to see my animal go through that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, I understand every aspect of it and different opinions, and I respect that. Everyone has to do what's right for them, but I just speak from my experience of what the animals have shared with me, and everyone needs to make their own decision about that. I would never, tell anybody they had to do it this way or that way. I mean, it's a personal decision, and it's such a difficult one. But you know, and in all the years and in all the animals I've had, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, Sherry, but I have yet to have an animal that just passes on their own. I've always had to help them. So,
wow.
And I've had a
yeah.
lot of animals. I've had a lot of animals. So,
yes,
you know,
I agree with you.
We want them to just pass away peacefully in their sleep, right? Wouldn't that just be the nicest way to go? Like they just went to sleep all snuggly and cuddly and warm, and, you know, they transitioned out of their body without even so much as a peep, you know, not even disturbing us or their sleep. That's the way we would want them to go, and that has never happened to any of my animals. So I'm hopeful, because I still have quite a few. I'm hopeful that that may still happen, but I've always had to help my animal make their transition, and it is not fun for me either. I'm telling you, this just like the worst thing in the world anybody has to do, and my heart goes out to anyone who's been through that before. And the book is great to help
that
you.
I think when we knew he had jaw cancer, it's very, very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of telepathic communication with them.
Yep.
And needs the transition.
And that's another reason why I wrote the book, because there's signs in the book so you can help identify when your pet is nearing their final days, and to help steps to help you make it an easier experience for everyone involved.
So, Karen, if anybody would like to get a hold of you, how can you share how they can get a hold of you and how they can buy your books if they're interested on Amazon or wherever you have them?
Well, the easiest way to find me is through my website, which is KarenAnderson.net. And there is a lot of information on there. So if you're looking at a mobile device, make sure you tap in the upper corner where there's either three dots or three lines, because there's multiple pages of information. So that's the easiest way to get a hold of me. The book is on Amazon and Kindle, and I am currently recording for Audible. So it'll be available on Audible soon, and it's a bestseller right now in Pet Loss on Amazon, so I'm really proud about that. And also I have to share that I have a new online course that is out. If your listeners want to learn how to communicate with their own pets, they can also find out more about my online course. It's self-paced. You go at your own speed, and it's an introduction to animal communication. And again, that's on my website of KarenAnderson.net, or you can find me on Facebook. I'm Karen Anderson, Animal Communicator on Facebook is a great way to find me. And the course is really perfect for beginners or those who are new to the concept of animal communication. Within minutes of signing up, Sherry, you'll be sending your very first message to your own pet. It's very, very simple, and I share my secrets over the last 20 years of how to communicate with your pets.
That's wonderful. Wow. And I want to say personally, Karen is absolutely the best. I just enjoy not only her personality, her down-to-earth personality. I think that's because you used to be a sheriff. But I just enjoy her personality and her frankness and her compassion and her, you know, just being a down-to-earth girl. You guys will get a lot out of her courses, and I personally will vouch for that. She's amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. And you know, thank you.
I know that for a fact. So.
I know. Well, gosh, I appreciate that. I'm blushing. No, thank you very much. It's a passion. And, you know, we follow our hearts, and we do what we have to do in our hearts to help others. And this is my passion, and helping others learn how to communicate with their own pets. That's just, that makes my day when I get to watch somebody for the first time get a message from one of their own pets. It's just an incredible experience, and it's very easy. Once you know the steps, it's very easy to learn. So I'm excited to share what I have learned with others. I wish this platform would have been available to me all those years ago, but I've created a really, really fun and easy online course that anybody can follow and be sending messages within minutes.
That's awesome. Wow. Well, thank you, Karen, so much for sharing all your knowledge to our listeners and just being there for us. You know, anytime I call you, you're just available, or even just as a fill-in. And, you know, I really, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate you just being there for me when I need you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me on. And Jason, I'm sorry you're not here tonight, but you guys are awesome, and thank you so much for letting me come back and be a guest on your show. It's awesome.
Take care. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Hey, great. Hey, guys. Hey, I just thought I'd move forward so we don't go over time. Next week we're going to have Barry Gaunt. Barry Gaunt is going to be a returning guest. He's been in the metaphysical and the paranormal arena for 40-plus years, very much in demand. And he is now with, in Kentucky, he is the head of MUFON. So I'm not sure what that MUFON is, the UFO network. He'll go into that next week. But I do want to go and thank personally from last week's show, those who have listened last week, we had David Habin, who is a lifelong paramedic, but also he's also a photographer of gravesite photography. And we talked about cemetery symbolism. And we did mention last week about Bachelor's Grove. And I remember saying something about seeing, literally seeing as a psychic medium, some military people passing through. And I remember David saying, I'm not sure about that. And anyway, his friend Ursula has done tours. She's given not only tours in Chicago, but she's written several books on cemeteries and hauntings in Chicago and is also an expert on Bachelor's Grove. And to get the information, I found out not only did I give some information to David about the picture of Bachelor's Grove, but he also found out through Ursula that there was soldiers that used to walk to the train station in Blue Island to go to Chicago to get trains, to get to the trains to travel to fight the Civil War. So that was interesting to hear that, and also the family plot. There's quite a few veterans that were buried there. So it was good to see or hear the validation, and I want to thank you again, David and Ursula, for not only validating, but to bring it to light. So anyway, Jason and I, it's just like I said, it's not the same without him, and I hope he gets his problem fixed next week. So it's just nice to have somebody to go and banter with, and Jason's just a nice addition to the show. But I want to sincerely thank each and every one of you for listening to Paranormal Horizons and supporting us. So until next week, we want to tell you thank you and take care of yourself and be safe.